It's great to be here. As Andy said, we're just for the next couple of weeks at the 4 o'clock, we're doing something slightly different to what we normally do at St. Mary's. Normally, we just take a book of the Bible and just kind of work through it chunk by chunk. But from time to time, we take a particular kind of topic and try and work out generally what the whole Bible says about that topic. Today and next week, we'll be thinking about the topic of the Bible itself. What does the Bible, in fact, say about itself? How should we approach it? What kind of a book is it? For those of us who are Christians, how should we be reading it? For those of us, perhaps, who have questions about the Bible, how can we begin to address some of those questions ourselves? So that's kind of where we're heading, both today and next week. Let me pray as we begin together now, though. Loving Father, thank you for all that we've just sung about the promises of your word. And we pray that now you'd help us to understand more about the nature of your word, about the promises you make, about what it can mean for us. And pray that wherever we might stand in our own thinking about the Bible, that you'd give us clarity now as we think about it together. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, it's nearly summer holidays, isn't it? So I imagine before too long, we'll head off on our summer break. And then you know what it's like when you get back and you've been away for 2 weeks and you open the door and there's a whole pile of post there. And if you're anything like me, you kind of divide the post roughly into two piles. You have one pile that looks a little bit like this, and you have another pile that looks a little bit like this. You've got the kind of nice letters and you've got the kind of boring ones. Now, let me ask you a question. Which pile do you start opening first? It's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? Now, why is it, though, that we prefer letters like this to letters like this? Well, it's because there's a relationship behind letters like this. Someone's actually thought of us. They said, oh, it'd be nice to get in touch with Sam, drop him a note or a postcard. These ones, we know that we're just a number on a database somewhere that's been kind of churned out and sent through. Now, it's not that letters like this are unimportant. You know, it might have a bill or an invoice or something. It goes on the to-do pile. We know we need to deal with it at some point. But let's be honest, there's not much excitement in the whole thing, is there? Now, the question for us is, when it comes to this book, the Bible, which of these piles would you put it on? Because my hunch is, even if we'd call ourselves Christians here today, quite easily it can end up sitting on this pile. It's not that we think it's unimportant. We know that it's important to read our Bibles. It just ends up being a job to do, doesn't it? If something is important, but I kind of tick it off the to-do list and that's job done. But I wonder if you notice it in our reading that we have. It's Psalm 19, by the way. It'd be a great help if you had it open. Page 552. I wonder if you notice that the author said this about the Bible. It is more precious than gold. It is sweeter than honey. Not only precious, that's the gold, but pleasurable. There's something pleasurable, he says, about the Bible. And what I hope we're going to see today is that the reason David was able to say that about the words of this book, the Bible, is because he realized at the heart of this book, it's not a set of rules or regulations, but actually the offer of a living relationship with the God who made us. That what we have here, if you like, is a personal communication from a God who loves us passionately and wants us to have a deep, genuine, and wonderfully pleasurable relationship with him. In other words, the Bible says David belongs in this pile rather than this pile. Now, if we are a Christian believer here today, then understanding this is going to be absolutely key to not just reading our Bibles, but loving our Bibles, loving God's words. And if we're here and we wouldn't yet call ourselves a Christian, we've still got lots of questions. Well, I hope we'll begin to see that actually the heart of this book, the Bible, it isn't a kind of moral hammer that Christians use to kind of bang their particular opinions into people, but rather, in here is an offer from the creator of the universe for you to know him personally as well. It's quite a thing when we begin to realize that's what's going on. So we're going to have a look at kind of three particular things today. The first will be from Psalm 19. I'm going to ask you to flick onto another bit of the Bible halfway through, and then we'll finish up with something else. So first then, the Bible is God's invitation to a relationship with him. And first point, it's an invitation that is extended, or offered, if you like, by God the Father. And this is in Psalm 19. It's on page 552, if you've not found it yet. And perhaps you notice that this is a psalm all about God communicating. And so in the first half, did you see that God communicates through the world that he has made? Just have a look at the first few verses with me. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge and so on. You see, it's communication. You see, sometimes people say, actually, when they're kind of surrounded by the natural world, that they feel particularly kind of close to God. Perhaps you wouldn't express it like that, but people say that, and it's hardly surprising. You see, as the pictures in a gallery that you might visit declare something of the brilliance of the painter, well, so the Bible says, actually, the world around us declares the brilliance of the God who made it all. But those pictures in the gallery, well, they can only tell you so much about the artist. Certainly not enough to claim that you know him or her. Certainly not enough to enjoy a relationship with that artist. And the same actually is true with the world around us. It can make us feel perhaps that God is there, that there's something more to life. But, well, it's not enough for us to actually know God personally. And that's why we need God's word. And that's exactly what this psalm then goes on to speak about. Do you see from verse 7? All the different words used to refer to God's word there, the law of the Lord, the statutes, the precepts, the commands, the ordinances, all of those referring to the Bible of David's day, which would have been the first five books of our Bibles today. And did you notice that it's at this point in the psalm that David really starts getting excited? Yes, the world around shows us God's glory. That's wonderful, but his word, well, that revives the soul, he says. Verse 7, they make wise the simple. Verse 8, they give joy to the heart, light to the eyes. And so he concludes verse 10, they are more precious than gold, and much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. But I wonder if you notice the kind of shrewd observers amongst us, another little change from verse 7. You see, previously, in the first half of the psalm, God was referred to in the kind of general terms as God. In the Hebrew, it was the word El. It referred to the kind of mighty creator, God. The heavens declare the glory of God. But do you see verse 7? It changes. We have the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord. Six times, in fact, we have the Lord. It's printed in capitals, you'll see. And that's because it's a word used to refer to God's personal name. Yahweh was how it sounds in Hebrew. And Yahweh was a very special name. It referred to the same God as the mighty creator, but this was his personal name. You see, way back when he rescued his people Israel from slavery in Egypt, perhaps you remember the story. Well, he got them out the other end, and this was the name that he told them. It's as if he was saying, yes, I'm the God of the whole universe, but I want you to know me personally. So call me Yahweh. It's an amazing privilege. It's a bit like the Queen of England saying, yes, I'm the queen of the whole country, but you can call me Liz. You see, God rescued his people for relationship. But in order to make that relationship a reality, God then went about giving his people words. But they knew his glory from the world around, but now he wanted them to know specific things about himself so that they might know him. And those words were known as the law. it's a misleading term for us, because we think of the law, we think of kind of rules and regs and police stations and that kind of thing. But the law for the Israelites, well, it was the whole story of how God had rescued and chosen a people for himself and now wanted to know them personally. That was the law. It was a word that meant relationship. And that's why David gets so excited here. He knows that this written word is a word from Yahweh, the God who wants to know them personally. Not a dry set of requirements from a kind of distant boss who couldn't care less. No, but a word from Yahweh. That's why it can revive a soul. You see, our souls have been made for a relationship with our God. And until we come back into that relationship, they will feel restless and weary. And so God has extended an invitation to know him, and he's done it through his word. Yes, we might feel close to God in the natural world around us, but we cannot get any closer to God than when we are engrossed in the words that he's given us in the Bible. Words that are all about him and that tell us what he's like and that invite us to know him. They are an invitation to a relationship extended by God the Father. But for Christians, that's actually only half the story. You see, as much as God kind of extended this invitation for us to know him, actually the story of the Old Testament is of a people who stubbornly refused that relationship again and again. God spoke, and yet the people refused to listen. And that takes us to the second key thing about this book. It's an invitation to relationship that is enabled by God the Son. That's Jesus. And at this point, I'd love you to turn to our next little passage, which is in John chapter 5, and it's on page 1069. And we're jumping into a middle of a conversation that Jesus is having with some of the religious leaders of his day. And let me read from verse 39 now. You diligently study the scriptures, says Jesus, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Now, Jesus is confronting these Jewish opponents in these verses. You see, these guys love their Bibles. You know, they'd have read it every day before going off to work. They'd have had Bible verses stuck on their desk and as kind of fridge magnets and all the rest of it. But in spite of all that, they've missed the point. Did you see that in verse 39? They've missed the point because they've missed Jesus. They refuse to come to him. And yet Jesus says, these are the scriptures that testify about me. He's saying, look, these Old Testament scriptures, they're a way of God pointing forward to me. It's a bit like a pair of binoculars. I don't know if anyone's into kind of bird watching, or perhaps you've been lucky enough to go on a safari at some point or something like that. And you're there and your friend kind of beckons you over and he hands you a pair of binoculars and says, hey, look at this. And you take the binoculars and you look at them and you say, yeah, wow, they are really something, times 10 zoom and everything. No, you idiot, look, don't look at them, look through them, you know, to the bird over there or the lion kind of ripping the gazelle to pieces or whatever you're doing with those binoculars. You see, that's the point. You don't look at them, you look through them. That's the same with the Bible. We're to look through the Bible and see Jesus. Not to love the Bible just because it's a kind of special book in itself. We're to love it for all it tells us about Jesus because he is the subject of the whole thing. That's exactly what these Jewish opponents of Jesus weren't doing. They failed to see Jesus, and so they failed to see the message of the whole book. But there's one more little step in these verses that we need to see. You see, they weren't just to see Jesus, but do you see verse 40? You refuse to come to me to have life. And life in the Gospel of John is John's way of talking about relationship with God. True life is knowing God. He says later in the Gospel, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, the relationship that God has extended to us through his word is ultimately made possible through Jesus. And the way we know about Jesus is, again, through this word that God has given us. These are the scriptures, says Jesus, that testify about me, the Old Testament pointing forward to Jesus. And in our day, we have the New Testament looking back at him as well. And so, you see, we read promises in the Old Testament that talk about this wonderful future king who would come and finally restore people to this living relationship with God that we were made for. And then we see Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, proclaiming himself to be that king. We read in the Old Testament of loads of sacrifices, which were the kind of way of having some kind of forgiveness. And it seems a bit strange until we see Jesus. And we see him heading to a Roman cross. And the amazing claim is that there he took the sin of all of us, that sin that blocks our relationship with God, on himself. And so dies to open up that relation. Says, yes, through these pages now, Jesus, that these pages point to. That is how you can have a Bible. Without God's word that testifies to Jesus, the relationship that God began to extend in the Old Testament finds its full expression in Jesus. That is the heartbeat of this book. It's God's invitation to relationship enabled by Jesus, his son. And so, like the Pharisees, we mustn't miss the big points of this book. Yes, we should be diligently studying the scriptures, but we must do so for all that they tell us about the Lord Jesus. We should pray, Lord, show me Jesus and the life that he's offering. Through Jesus, help me to know you and to enjoy a relationship with you. And that's why, by the way, if we're not yet a follower of Jesus, we've still got questions. Well, there's really no better place to start than reading one of these gospel accounts. All about Jesus. This really is the heartbeat of the Bible. This is how we can know about the Jesus through whom we can have that relationship with God. There are loads at the back, by the way. They're cheap. We'd love you to have one for free. Just pick one up on your way out if you'd like one. But there's one final thing that we need to see about this book, the Bible, to complete the picture. You see, we've seen that through this book, God the Father extends this invitation to relationship. Through this book, God the Son enables that relationship. But finally, through this book, God the Spirit helps us to experience a relationship with the Lord God. You see, we've been saying, haven't we, that the Bible is like this kind of personal letter. And yet, don't we think, well, it's all very well saying that, but it was written 2,000 years ago. And yet, God insists that wonderfully, he continues to speak today through the words that were written all that time ago. But to save you turning it up, I've got a couple of references up on the screen, which will help us to see that. Here's the first, Hebrews 4. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And then Ephesians 6 says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, we're saying that the Bible isn't a kind of old memory of something God once said. No, it's living and active. Three words recorded in the past, God speaks in the present. And it's the Spirit who makes that happen. Ephesians 6, verse 17, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit isn't a kind of weird, enigmatic figure. He's just God himself who comes to dwell inside people, his people. And what he's saying here is that God's Spirit takes what God has said in his word and actually applies it to our hearts so that it's a word for us today. I remember a number of years ago going on a walk with my family. This is when I was a teenager. It was in France and it was down a gorge. And in the guidebook, it made reference to a particular stretch of this walk. And it said, for advanced walkers only. Now, my family, being my family, assumed that, in spite of the fact that there were three kids, all under the age of like 14 or something, we were advanced walkers. So off we go on this walk. And we totally ignored the warning. And when we got to that particular stretch, it was more or less kind of scrambling up a cliff, as far as I can remember. The best bit was when we passed a tombstone halfway up, saying kind of in loving memory of... It was an extraordinary experience, and we just about made it to the end unscathed. But imagine if when we were looking at that guidebook before the walk, we had the guy who had written it with us, saying, oh, no, this is what I mean by for advanced walkers only, and helping us to understand how that applied to us, i.e. you probably shouldn't do this walk with young children, for example. We wouldn't have made the same mistake. We would have listened. Well, without God's Spirit, actually the Bible is just like that guidebook. It's full of words that we will simply misunderstand or ignore. It'll seem dull and irrelevant to us. But when God's Spirit comes to work in a person, well, the very author of the Bible comes alongside us and helps us to understand. It's like he turns on the lights. So whenever I come across a promise in the Bible, the Spirit actually works in my heart to help me believe that promise. So when God says, never will I leave you nor forsake you, for the Christian believer, even if they're going through hell at the moment, the Spirit will take that word and give them great comfort. And they will know that that is true. And they'll be able to build their lives on that promise. Not just an old word spoken back then, but a word for me today. When I come across a warning in the Bible, perhaps flee from sexual immorality or be on your guard against greed. Well, again, the Holy Spirit comes into my heart and shows me where I'm in danger of doing those things. It doesn't just become a vague moral precept, but he helps me to think, oh yeah, you really ought to put that filter on your internet, just in case. Or yeah, you really do need to be a little bit more generous with that generous gift that you've just received from your parents or whatever it might be. And again, old words written a long time ago are brought home with great relevance as the Spirit takes God's word then and applies it to me now. It might be that I come across a truth about God, his purity perhaps, his love. And whereas before I might have just read it and it's a kind of point of doctrine, now my heart sings with it. So I think, gosh, he really does love me. It's an extraordinary truth and we rejoice in it. And actually through all these things that the Holy Spirit grows our relationship with God as his word gets into our hearts and into our bloodstream. We begin to love the things that he loves, hate the things that he hates. I begin to long for others to know him too. And, you know, my prayer life will take off as well. Because suddenly I'm beginning to know the God who I'm relating with. And suddenly I've got a whole load of stuff I want to say to him as well. Now, none of this is to say that reading the Bible will feel easy for us. We'll still be battling against sinful hearts and the devil who'll do anything to stop us reading God's words. But as we persevere, the Spirit will take the words we're reading and speak them personally, lovingly, into our own lives and situations. And so the Spirit takes his sword, the Bible, and day by day he gives us understanding, he warms our hearts, he takes that relationship that Jesus has won for us, and he makes it a lived, experienced reality. And that's why this is a book like no other. In its pages is the offer of a relationship extended by God the Father, enabled by God the Son, and experienced day by day by God the Spirit. The God of the universe speaks with us, and he says, I want you to know me. Which is why if we want to know God, if we want to know him better, day by day, well, this book, the Bible, really must become the heartbeat of our own lives. Now, a lot of people find it helpful to have Bible reading notes to help with that. Just gives you a little chunk of the Bible to read each day. A few questions and notes of explanation. I use these myself. If you've never tried this before, well, go to the bookstall afterwards. And these are normally a quid, but have it for free today. I don't know if I have the authority to do that, but you can have it for free today. And people also find it helpful, I think, often find a kind of regular time to set aside and read the Bible. Now, listen, we might be battling with kind of small kids who don't give us a spare moment. Well, why not just find 10 minutes at some point in the day, if you can, to spend time in God's words. But this week would be a great week to kickstart our Bible reading again. If you like to take the Bible off this pile, something I've got to do, and put it back on this pile. This is where it belongs. A living relationship with the Lord God. Let me pray. Lord God, we do praise and thank you for the Bible. Truly, it is more precious than gold. It is sweeter than honey. And if only we knew that in our own lives more and more. We pray for those of us for whom this all is very new and strange. Pray, Father, that in some way it would be possible for us to get to know you better through your word, the Bible. And for those of us who profess to know you and love you, Lord, please make your word more and more central in our own lives. And we pray it wouldn't just be kind of dry and dusty truth, but pray this would be a living relationship with you, that your spirit would be doing that work in our hearts of making these truths sing in our hearts. And we ask all this for Jesus' sake. Amen.